What's up, everybody? It's Devonte Smith, aka King Cage, and you're listening to today's Boondoggle.
What's going on, everybody? It's Bill Bailey with today's Boondoggle on Domain Cleveland Radio. I just wanted to take a minute in this little intro before the intro to give you an update on some of the things we got going on here at today's Boondoggle. And we recently launched an email account, so if you have any questions, suggestions, or comments, you're enjoying the show, you want to see something different, you want to see certain guests on the show, you can reach us at todaysboondoggle@gmail.com. And as you know, the coronavirus lockdown has hit a lot of us financially. Boondoggle didn't escape it either. And if you want to support us financially so we can get you these interviews that you enjoy each week, you can donate to our GoFundMe. There's you get on GoFundMe, look up today's Boondoggle. We got a GoFundMe that'll be ongoing. And as well as a Venmo, you can donate. If you use Venmo, go to Venmo Domain or today's Boondoggle. And then also there's our Anchor sponsorship on the Anchor app, anchor.fm. Look up today's Boondoggle and you can become a monthly sponsor to us there. As you know, this is a veteran owned and operated program we got going on here. It's very been, man, incredibly therapeutic for a guy like myself who, you know, is a veteran with PTSD and anxiety. It just gets me out there talking with people and gets me out of my comfort zone, and it's been awesome. But it all costs us, you know, the travel, accommodations, to get to these interviews that you want to hear. So if you can help out anyway, we truly appreciate it. Also, please follow us on social media. It's at Today's Boondoggle. We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Just please follow, subscribe, comment, download the episodes. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, you know, any of the programs that you use to listen to your podcast. Please do whatever you can to support us, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Thanks.
Thank you for tuning into this week's edition of Today's Boondoggle. Domain Cleveland Entertainment is a veteran-owned and operated entertainment cornucopia of nonsensical shenanigans. You can find interesting interviews, music news, entertainment information, and just about everything else in between. Thank you again for tuning into the show here at Domain Cleveland.
Today's episode of Domain Cleveland Radio was sponsored in part by RTSC Training. Do you want to train like a champion?
Yes, sensei.
Then visit RTSCtraining.com for information on programs and training. Train like a champion today.
Yes, sensei.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Bill Bailey with today's Boondoggle, Domain Cleveland Radio. And today I'm sitting down with a teacher of mine, the dark-skinned Romeo himself, Marcus Crawford, right?
Yes, it's Crawford.
And then brown belt in jiu-jitsu, started teaching me on Sundays, doing our classes here at the RTSC Training Center, open back up. So how you been doing through this whole, like, downtime we had and everything?
I've been doing well. I've been doing a little odd jobs to make ends meet, but, you know, I've been just going with the flow.
Yeah. That's how I get to know you. You're good with, you know, being laid back and going with the flow. And
yeah, I feel like I'm a chill guy. Yeah.
yeah, you are, and that's good. I mean, it's, as I've been on this new jiu-jitsu journey myself, I know when I started off, my biggest problem was just getting in my own head, and, you know, like, the fight or flight would kick in. And it's like when you just start, like, relaxing and just going with the flow and feeling it, it seemed like it took the veil off for me.
Yeah, sometimes it takes a little time to get to that point, you know, with so much chaos going on the mat. But I feel like once you get there, it's like, it's a good feeling.
You know? I mean, I still got a long way to go, but you know, that was a big part for me, just like to get that concept. And then now I feel like more relaxed. It's like, hey man, I'm a student, and it is what it is, you know.
Yeah, and what helps with that is being a white belt, because like at white belt, it's just the stage of learning. Like no one has any expectation of you. Like your job is basically just get in there and gather as much information as you can. So like, it doesn't really supposed to be pressure at white belt. You know what I mean? So
yeah. So I wanted to talk a little bit. I mean, we talked about doing this for a while before the whole, you know, Corona lockdown and all that. But I wanted to get, you know, into the background of Marcus. Like, what was it like? Where'd you grow up at?
I grew up on the southeast side of Cleveland, Ohio, around, like, the Kinsman area. And it was a rough neighborhood. It was rough, but, you know, we made the best of the situation.
Yeah. And then when you were a kid, do you remember, like, what did you originally want to be when you grew up?
I had no idea. I always loved combat sports, like boxing and like, karate and, like, I used to watch kung fu movies with my dad and things like that, but I didn't have any idea of what I wanted to be. Like I didn't have any expectations or anything. I was just out there.
Yeah, just a kid. Just you were going with the flow back then too, huh?
Yeah.
So you grew up in that area. What kind of led you to want to pursue jiu-jitsu and get in? Did you start any other martial arts, or did you like other sports or anything before?
Okay, so my first martial art was Muay Thai. I had a coach named Bruce Gormley, and he taught in a gym in Lakewood, and I found him on Google. I went up and we just got to work. Like, he was a good coach. Taught me a bunch of stuff, but I only did that for about maybe 2 years before I started going to school for mechanic work.
Okay.
So that was my first martial art. Yeah.
Oh, okay. And then, what'd you say you were going to school for? Mechanics?
Yeah, it was auto body work.
Okay.
I didn't like it. I didn't want to do it. Only reason why I started is because I felt like I needed to do something. Like, you know, like I didn't have any direction in life, and I felt like I needed to just basically get off my ass and start trying to secure a future. But it wasn't something I wanted to do. It was actually a waste of time in retrospect. But
yeah,
you live and you learn.
But I mean, think about, like, did you take apart engines and, you know,
no, it was just all about
together and see this piece makes this piece go and that piece makes that piece go.
Oh yeah. Like putting a car together, like as far as the outside fitting pieces, yeah.
Because I'm looking at it right now, like, you know, I mean, how you've been teaching me with jiu-jitsu, like, well, when you do this, then the person's going to try and do this.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of went together a little bit, you know?
Yeah, kind of, but my heart wasn't in it. I didn't really like doing it. I feel like the reason why, like, my jiu-jitsu has come as far as it has, still has a long way to go, but has come as far as it has because I had a really dope teacher. Like, my first jiu-jitsu instructor was Darren Branch. He was a really intelligent guy. Like, he broke things down to a science where, like, it really helped me understand. Like, you know, like, he was very passionate about it, but he was really smart, too, you know? And if you can relate, like, he'll put you where you needed to be.
Did he do the table demonstrations?
Most of the things I teach you, like, the majority of things is the way he explained it to me, you know, it helped me out immensely.
And it's helping me, so I appreciate it. Shout out to Darren.
Yeah, shout out to Darren, Coach Keeper.
So, like, when did you, like, first decide you were going to do jiu-jitsu? Did you, like, were you watching, like, you said you were into combat sports and everything. Was there somebody that you saw that you were like, you know what, I want to give that a shot?
It was actually a season of Ultimate Fighter. I don't remember which season it was, but it was the one with Kimbo Slice.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was watching it, and I was actually like, you know what, man, I think I could do this shit. Like, if that was me, You know what I mean? Like, I would have did this. And instead of just being one of those people who sat there and watched it and said, well, if that was me, I would have did this and I would have did that. I wanted to actually prove it. You know what I mean?
The couch commentators.
Yeah, you know, got off the couch.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah, I know. I've been a couch commentator for a long time. So now I'm learning. Yeah, now I shut my mouth.
Yeah, I guess it wasn't that easy.
Yeah. But so then you started training, and I mean, obviously, everybody comes in, starts as a white belt, but what's your journey been like to get now to, I mean, how long you been doing this, and what's it been like to get the brown belt?
I've been doing jiu-jitsu for about 7-8 years, something along. I don't really remember the exact date. I have to actually go through my Facebook memories to find that out. But, yeah, man, the journey's been a journey, man. It's been ups and downs, like with anything else. But, you know, it's been beautiful. Like, I'm so glad I found jiu-jitsu, man. It's I know it's cliche, but it changed my life. It really did. You know, I'm like really grateful for all the people I've met along on this journey. Like I've met some wonderful personalities, some people who are just like genuinely dope, and I'm thankful for it, man. It's been nice.
Well, man, I can relay those remarks, man, because you know, I mean, I feel the same way about meeting you and training with
likewise,
you know, with Ray and everybody in the group. It's been you know, like we were talking a little bit before we went on, you know, and most of my listeners know, you know, about me being a vet with PTSD and, you know, just trying to adjust to get comfortable with talking and people again. I mean, when you're in the military, you got that camaraderie, you got that brotherhood, you know, and then it's hard to, like, leave that and then try and adapt to, like, the civilian world. But I feel like I'm almost finding it again now in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah,
it's a whole new brotherhood and camaraderie. So.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. Yeah.
And I love it. You know, I know you also train and do MMA as well. Now, what came first for you is, you know, you did jiu-jitsu for a while and then, or did you jump into MMA like right away?
All right, so I started it all with a Muay Thai, right? I was kickboxing with Bruce, like I told you. And I had MMA aspirations even back then, but I wanted to take my time with it, right? I wanted to actually learn the arts, like learn several different martial arts before I hopped in. Because like I said, I had no background. Like a lot of people who start MMA had some type of martial arts background. I didn't. Like I started when I was like 20, 21, something like that. And I didn't have any actual sports background at all. Like, growing up, I didn't do any sports. I was always athletic.
You didn't do nothing in high school, like
nothing. I didn't wrestle. I didn't run track. I didn't play basketball. I didn't do anything. I was always athletic, always. But like, let's just say my head wasn't in the right spot during those high school years. So, So, I was always athletic, but I never did anything. So I wanted to take my time. Like I fought in the streets a lot coming up. Like I was always into street fights, but I didn't have any like actual coaching and fighting. So I wanted to take my time and actually learn how to fight. So I started off with kickboxing. And when I felt like I was decent in kickboxing, I moved on to jiu-jitsu. And so that was after like a year or so in the mechanic school, maybe like two years, about 23 is when I started jiu-jitsu. So I did the kickboxing. I felt like I was good or decent enough to go in the cage and do something on my feet. So after that, I started grappling because I didn't want to get pounded out on the ground. So
yeah. I mean, you just were talking about, you know, street fighting growing up. Now this was just, I mean, survival, right? Was it organized? Was it planned? Was it like?
Oh, no, you know, no, it was just, no. It was the neighborhood I grew up in. I was pretty much, for the longest, I was just a loner. Like, I'm very introverted, actually. Like, I like people, but I don't like people. Like, I kind of like being to myself. So since I was always like that, I was always to myself. I didn't hang with a big crowd. The guys who did, like, they were kind of like pick on you.
Too, you know, too good for them or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So they'll jump on me or something, and then like I'll see one of them and I'll get my get backs, and it was an ongoing cycle. So I was always fighting. Like I rarely backed down.
Yeah.
You know, so I just fought a lot.
You know, having to deal with all that, I mean, I would say, like, man, it'd be like probably a lot of like anger when you first started coming into like training Muay Thai and Jiu-Jitsu and stuff. But then do you feel like that Jiu-Jitsu and all that has been a way to kind of like harness that anger into a positive energy?
Yes, and actually I've been thinking about that a lot recently. Like, and I feel like that anger I had was kind of a tool that I used, you know? Like,
Yeah,
it was. And I feel like since I found Jiu-Jitsu and my life has been getting a lot better, like I've lost that fuel, you know?
Yeah.
Like I still feel myself in a different way, just of the love of the martial arts, and it's become a lifestyle. But that fuel that I had, and you know, I was kind of using it in a positive way, but I wasn't realizing it, if that makes any sense to you.
Yeah, no, it does. It does. Like, I mean, that same fuel, if it wasn't direct, if you didn't discover martial arts and direct you, could have burned you alive.
Yeah,
you know,
it definitely would have.
So
I'm sure of it.
This has definitely been a gift, and you know, I mean, I'm learning, you know, 47 years finally getting into this is like there's so much mismanaged, you know, of my focus and energy, you know, at things that I wasted it towards. And it's like now it's like I feel like, you know, this has helped centering me quite a bit. So
for sure.
I think it would help, you know, a lot of people out there. And because there's like a meditation to it, too. You know, I mean, I know when I'm in fight or flight and I'm spazzing and I'm reaching, I'm either putting myself in a position where you can grab me and tap me or submit me or whatever. But when I'm calm and I'm focused and I'm like, okay, you know, he's coming at me. Like I'm starting to learn. You know, he's coming at me from here. He's gonna go for this. How do I counter that?
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
So it's I'm loving it, man. But speaking kind of along those lines, I mean, I see, you know, you up here training quite a bit, you know, on how you like to train your body. What do you normally like to, what do you think is one of your favorites go to focus on, you know, training your body that it benefits you when you do jiu-jitsu or MMA?
Well, honestly, like you mean like working out, like
yeah.
I hate working out. I hate it with a passion, but it's a necessity. And afterwards, I feel good. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I feel more in tone with my body. I feel stronger, faster. But during and before, I'm not into it. But my strength and conditioning coach, Ray Terry, he's dope. He's dope. He pushes me. He's really good, man. He pushes me. And,
he's a good motivator.
Yeah, he's a good motivator, and he's strict. But it's that discipline that you need sometimes, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely can concur with that. I, a lot of times, man, the biggest battles, you know, just like, I know I got to come at this time. We're scheduled. I don't want to.
I don't want
I'm
to.
I'm like already fighting in my head. Like, this guy's going to tell me this, yeah. you know, and I'm cussing Ray out on the way here, you know. But then yeah. it's like, you know, I shut my mouth. I do what I'm supposed to do. And then I feel good afterwards.
Exactly.
You know, I got through it, you know? And there's been, like, I mean, plenty of times I didn't want to come to jiu-jitsu class, too. And I'm just like, man, you know, he knows a lot of, we've gotten to know each other pretty well. And he knows a lot of life stuff that, you know, I've been struggling with. And he's just like, dude, I'm telling you, trust me. Just come here and roll tonight. And it ends up being like a therapy session because you forget everything
mm-hmm.
outside. You get on the mat. And then it's just like, good, I needed to pull my head away from that for a little bit. You know?
It's hard to think about other struggles when you got somebody on your neck.
yeah, exactly. And then, I mean, kind of rolling into that, like, what do you do for, you know, is there something that you do, like, to strengthen yourself mentally, to work on your mental toughness and stuff? Do you have any kind of a routine for that?
No.
Or just basically just keep showing up?
Yeah, just keep showing up. I'm learning, though. I'm learning about strengthening your mental. Like, I have a friend, my friend Devontae, like, he's really good at strengthening his mental. Like, yeah. he's a really strong-minded young man. Like, and he's been showing me some things that's been working. And, yeah, like, I'm learning. I'm learning about strengthening my mental. I always just thought about it as being, a physical thing, but it's way beyond that.
No, I agree. I mean, I think that's the biggest part to the components. Like, yeah, you know, the body can only do what the body can do, but the mind's got to push the body to do it. And then even when the body's like, I don't think I can do anymore, you know, you got to have the mind to, okay, one more, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. And you know, also, I mean, I look at it like, you know, I mean, we're emotional beings. We're emotional human beings, and so much stuff that we're getting bombarded with can direct us to do something that we wouldn't normally do, you know, because our emotions are controlling us. But when we learn to just pull out, you know, pull away, take that time out, and get centered, you know, I think we make better choices and stuff. So, I'm learning too, man, as we go along on this journey. And you know, I guess it's not too late, you know.
It's never too late. As long as you're living and breathing, you can learn something.
Exactly. So have you been, you know, you talked about, you know, how you were a loner as a kid and going to, you know, in the neighborhood, and the guys would, you know, jump you, and you know, you dealt with stuff like that. I mean, what other kind of like experiences have you had that you know, like, could have led you one or two ways, you know, like, you know, what kind of haters have you dealt with since you got into this and you're like betting yourself and doing martial arts and stuff like that?
Oh man, the experiences I had, man. I don't really know where to start, man. I've seen a bunch of stuff like I probably shouldn't have seen. I've been around a bunch of stuff that I probably shouldn't have been around, but they all shaped me, man. They didn't break me, so I guess they made me stronger. But it's a bunch of stuff, man. It's just like me moving out of the neighborhood that I was in was the best thing for me. And I think that kind of like helped me find jiu-jitsu too, because like the jiu-jitsu academy that Darren Branch, my old jiu-jitsu coach, was running was like a few blocks from my house. But I never stopped to go in. Like, I always would get off the bus and walk past. I'd stop by and take a peek in the window for a minute, yeah, and see the windows were all fogged up and people were rolling on the ground, but I never actually sat and watched for a long period of time or took interest until it was time for me to take interest. You know, I guess it wasn't time for me to step in and find my passion. You know, I guess I wouldn't appreciate it back then. I don't know. Everything happens for a reason.
Exactly. No, and I mean, you know, just with you saying that, you know, had me thinking too. It's like how you can be an inspiration for others, and you have been, you know, with giving back and coaching. Like that path, you could have took a different, you know, there was a fork in the road in your life, and you could have went a different way.
Yeah.
You know, and you didn't, and you can give hope to somebody else that's facing that fork right now, and hopefully people listening will, you know, get something.
Yeah,
from that,
yeah,
you know?
Man. Yeah, one of my long-term goals is to open up a jiu-jitsu academy or MMA academy in my old neighborhood, because I feel like there are a lot of talented young kids in my old neighborhood. It's just they don't have that opportunity to showcase the talent, showcase what they have. It's just like,
well, they got that fuel too, and it's like, where are they directed?
Yeah, you know? Yeah, and if they have that positive outlet, then I feel like a lot of positive outcome will come of it. Like, that's what I want to do. I really do want to do that. I want to open up something and give that opportunity to the youth that I didn't have at that particular time, you know?
Yeah, man. Well, I hope we can help you do that, man. So what, you know, well, I mean, I can tell, you know, I mean, the view you have now. These were life experiences, and that says so much because I can totally relate. You know, if I would have been handed the keys to something when I wasn't mentally ready for it, I would have ruined it, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like you said, timing is everything. That's part of the journey, and a lot of wisdom in that, you know? What's your, like, nutrition to take a whole, like, another path right now?
So, I'm a pescatarian. I stopped eating meat right before I started martial arts. So around like 20 years old, I stopped eating meat. And I still eat most seafood. I still eat shrimp, fish, and like, you know, lobster and clams and stuff like that. But when I tell people that, they automatically assume that my diet's great, and it's not. I eat a lot of chips, a lot of cereal, like Cocoa Pebbles and Fruity Pebbles and Captain Crunch. A lot of pizza, stuff like that. I just don't eat, like, chicken, beef, or pork. But my diet is not well.
Okay.
It's not. I'm not going to claim it is. It's just not. It's horrible.
Man, but, yeah, I don't think you got an ounce of body fat on you.
No, because I try to work it off. I mean, my genetics, like, my parents were very slim. Like, growing up, they were both parents, mom and dad. But also, like, I feel like if I'm going to eat shitty, I'm going to work extra hard.
Yeah.
You know, so I try to balance it out.
Yeah, yeah, it's funny, too, because at the beginning of that, before you went and did the chips and Cocoa Pebbles and everything, I was like, oh, man, well, you know, maybe I can get some recipes from you because my doc's got me on a plant-based diet now, and I can't eat meat.
I do have some recipes for some struggle meals. Like, if you're actually broke and you don't have that much money and your supplies are limited, I'm the person you come to.
All right.
Make a gourmet meal out of a can of tuna fish.
Awesome. So, you know, and we've already kind of touched on this a little bit, but I mean, you know, how is it that you can be like so like laid back, you know, such a chill guy to talk to, but, you know, explosive on the mat, you know? I mean, it's like, when you're holding position, you know, you're calm, you're cool. But then when it's like somebody is testing you, it's like, I'm seeing, you know, I got to take a replay. What did you just do? Where'd he go? You know, like Sonic the Hedgehog or something.
Man, I just think that comes from experience, man. Like, I've been doing jiu-jitsu for like 8 years. So, like, I've been having ups and downs on the mat for 8 years. Like, some days you're the hammer, some days you're the nail. So there have been days where I got messed up bad. But I think when you enjoy both ends of the process, like, everything's all good. Like, if you can come in and get your ass kicked and still go in there and feel complete and feel like you went in and did something, it's all good.
No, and I was kind of getting that before we got, you know, shut down. Like, hey, you know, it's like, all right, I just got my ass handed to me, but I didn't get my ass handed to me as quick as I did yesterday.
And that's, you know, a win. That's, yeah, a win. You got to take,
know,
it as a
so
win.
I'm like, I started learning to be grateful for those. So like, wow, I actually lasted an extra 30 seconds that time, you know.
This time he couldn't get me with that same choke he got me 30 times before. Like, so
yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, it's good stuff, man. So then, you know, as we mentioned earlier, you're teaching the classes here at RTSC on Sundays, jiu-jitsu, 11 o'clock. So any listeners that want to come in can experience the wisdom of Marcus on the mats. But, you know, what was it, this is kind of like you're saying, you know, that your dream is to open up a facility of your own, you know, in your neighborhood that you grew up and everything like that. Just the stepping stone to practice for you, or just the desire to give back with what's been given to you.
Yeah, yeah. I also want to open one at my dad's hometown, and Montego Bay, Jamaica. But I want to open one here in the neighborhood I grew up in first. Like, that's the main.
Yeah.
I also want to open one in Jamaica.
Oh, yeah, the Jamaica one would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it would be. It would be. Ah, on the island.
but I'm, you know, I mean, just talking to you and with your hearing your story and everything, I think the impact and the blessing would be in your neighborhood here.
Yeah.
You know, give those kids an opportunity.
Yeah.
You know? So hopefully we can help make that happen, man. Now, current goals that you have for yourself right now?
Current goals, man. Really just to keep doing what I'm doing, just to stay on track. I just want to keep fighting. I want to keep training. Like right now, like I'm, especially pre-COVID, like things were flowing well for me. Like I was in a good spot in life. Like things were coming together how I wanted them to come together. So it's it, just to stay focused, man. Just stay on the ball.
Yeah. And then what goals have you had, you know, set for yourself in the past that you've accomplished?
Now here's the thing. I really never had any goals in the past. Like when I was telling you, like I didn't have anything that I wanted to be when I was growing up. Like my goal was just to see the next day, really. Just to survive. Like it's kind of sad to say, like I was just here. I was just here, just existing.
But what about since you got into jiu-jitsu?
I
want to get to brown and eventually black belt.
Honestly, even with jiu-jitsu, like I didn't really have that many goals. Like I wanted to become a black belt, or I just love doing it, so I just continue to do it. You know what I mean?
That's probably the best way too, because you can almost put too much pressure on yourselves that will, you know, when you don't reach, you know, a goal that you put for yourself, you know, it kind of where you're just like, I'm here, I'm going to show up every day, I love what I'm doing, and the rewards come with it.
Yeah, exactly, you know? Exactly. So. But to each his own. Some people need that goal to strive to have a reason to get up and go. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So.
No, I mean, I get that, but, you know, I'm also one of those, like, and Ray will tell you, I overthink. I'm in my head so much.
Yeah, I'm like that, too. Know?
And I could beat myself up because I'm too focused on where I'm not,
mm-hmm.
you know, instead of remembering how far I've come from where I was, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Rob the joy of today, worrying about yesterday or, you know.
Or tomorrow.
Yep. So, if people wanted to, like, follow your journey or support you, you know, on this path, and where would you send them?
My Instagram, DarkSkinRomeo, that's DarkSkinRomeo. And ladies, I'm single. Keep that in mind.
See, I set that up because I wanted you to say your Instagram yourself. let's talk a little bit about your Instagram name. You know, how'd you come up with that?
DarkSkinRomeo.
Yeah.
Oh, because I'm dark skinned.
Besides the obvious.
And I can be very romantic at times, so.
All right.
That's how I got that name, DarkSkinRomeo.
All right, so I'm going to get into some of the questions that I ask my regular guests stuff on here. Do you have, like, who's your, like, three favorite musical artists?
Ooh. What type of music are you talking?
I mean, whatever you'd enjoy.
Okay. So I've been listening to a lot of rap lately, but I listen to different types of music. I like R&B, so I like reggae music. You know, sometimes I listen to some reggaeton, even though I don't know what they're saying, I still listen to it. So it all really depends on what type of mood I'm in, on what type of music and what type of artists I listen to. So it varies. Like,
is there anybody that you know is some of your favorites that you go to regularly? Grew up listening to or something.
I like a rapper named Currency. I've been listening to a lot of Chicago drill rap lately.
No, not familiar.
Yes, yeah. So I can't say it right now because, like I said, it all depends on my mood. Like, I have times where I will listen to this rapper for like 4 months straight, and then I won't listen to him for the next 2-3 years or something. Like, yeah. You know, so it all depends on my mood and what they talk about or what their music is about. You know, if it fits how I'm living or some situation that's going on in my life, if I can relate at that period in time, then that's who I'm rocking with. I like Nipsey too. I've been listening to a lot of Nipsey Hussle, a lot of motivational music from him.
Awesome. And then, is there a certain like song that you feel has inspired you in life?
Yeah. Speaking of, yes, like there's a couple songs, but like I've been listening to like that song named "Dedication" by Nipsey Hussle, and it's been getting me through a lot of training sessions. Yeah.
What's your morning ritual or routine?
I don't have one. I don't. That's one of the things I've been lacking in life is some structure, and it just depends on what time I go to bed and what I ate, or it's just every day is different for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Favorite place you ever visited?
Jamaica.
Jamaica.
Jamaica. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Three people who've inspired you or you can credit for making you the person you are today.
My mama is number one. Fruity Tang, I love her to death. My mom's the sweetest. Actually, my cousin over there is Matt. Money Stacks Matt. Yeah. he's been in my corner forever too. It's like a brother to me. And there's a bunch of people, actually. Like, I can name three, but that wouldn't even be fair because there have been a lot of people who inspired me and helped me along my journey, so.
Yeah, it sounds like Darren would be in there.
Oh, Darren's definitely in there, man. That is my boy. Darren's helped me out a lot, man. Like, a lot. I owe a lot to that man. Yeah, like I said, there's so many people, it wouldn't even be fair.
Yeah, no, I got you. And, you know, we can't go without mentioning Ray Terry. You know,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
We promised we'd say something nice.
Yeah, no. So
there you go, Ray. favorite toy as a child?
Whew. Favorite toy as a child. That's a hard one. That's a hard one. I used to play with a little action figures back then. Oh, I can. All right, you took me back. I had to think for a second. You took me back. I had a sword I got from I think the circus. I don't know where I got it from. Actually,
the light up ones or whatever.
It was actually like a replica of the. You remember Power Rangers? You remember White Ranger had like a little dagger or something they used to pull out? Yeah. It was one of those, and I used to play with that shit all the time. I wonder whatever happened to that.
Yeah, you have to dig that out. It's funny because when me and Devontae did this too, man, it's like same thing. He'd think about it, and then it was just like they all started like Christmas all over again, you know? Who would you say is your favorite wrestler or MMA fighter?
My favorite MMA fighter, I'll have to go with Anderson Silva. You know, he's the GOAT. Wrestler? Now you're talking about WWE?
Yeah.
I was a huge Shawn Michaels fan growing up. That was my dude. But I don't watch WWE now. Like, I haven't seen that shit since I was like in the fourth grade or something.
Yeah, I bring it up and it annoys Ray. So much, you know, all the guys, but I grew up with that stuff, man, and I still like try and watch it, but it's like been weird with no people in the audience and everything. Yeah. You can see how bad the acting is. I'm distracted by all the people getting emotionally involved and screaming. Any message that you have for our military serving overseas?
We appreciate you. Keep doing what you're doing.
Awesome. All right. Well, that's pretty much all I got for you.
Okay.
Is there, you know, anything else if people wanted to, like, you know, so just follow your Instagram, they want to follow your journey?
Yeah, no, I also want to remind the ladies that I am single, ready to mingle.
All right, you're going to have to send me a good picture for when I post this.
I got you.
And then one last favor before we end. Can you mind doing a promo ID for the show?
What you need me to do?
Just to introduce yourself, and you're listening to Today's Boondoggle.
All right. All right, what's up, everybody? This is Marcus Crawford, and today you listen to Today's Boondoggle?
Today's Boondoggle.
Today's Boondoggle.
Awesome. All right, man. Thanks a lot. I'm glad we got to do this.
All right, for sure.
Hello, and thanks for listening to Today's Boondoggle. And now, for your listening pleasure, Florence Whitingale presents his latest epoch.
Wasting any words with ya, and I won't be writing manuscript. I won't be talking in code to ya, but I'll be issuing many a edict. You heard me right, bitch. Now unfasten that latch on your snatch and let the air get up and irrigate it. I said irrigate, not Watergate, with sweet juices of the sky, so that I might partake in this batch, which is called upon by my existence at this particular moment in time.
Maybe I just want make a mess in your mouth.
Did you hear me? Or do I have to say it again?
Maybe I just want make a mess in your mouth.
About a puddle, bitch. Ha! Is you ready for a great diastrophism? Guaranteed to load you up. Upside the cup and inside your mouth. And sauce and wherewithal to dip and scoop and mix up electronically and sporadically. I'm making reference to the juice. That's right, bitch. The juice. A puddle is what I'm talking about here. I ain't anal and I don't retain. I'm ready and waiting at the very same time. You tell me if you think it's coming from one someplace. And you tell me if you think it's coming from more than one someplace. Yelping, screaming, whimper, holler, let it loose. Dare not bother to ascend, you have no choice. So just rejoice upon this dollar, bitch. A pimp for me and me alone. To clarify that spongy, so I said spongy, not bungee. I ain't anal and I don't retain, nor am I phallic. Ha, bitch, I am the man.
Baby, I just wanna make a mess in your mouth.
I'm Halo, brother of Elmo, and I've got the biggest cock of all the Sesame Street characters. You know, Hanglo run the dark side of Sesame Street. You know, if you want, like, let's say, a dime bag of weed, or maybe some crack, or hey, Ron, or hell, maybe you just need a whore. You can come to Hanglo, and I'll set you straight. But don't try and cross Hanglo. Don't do that, because Hanglo will shoot your ass. Like, this one time, this guy, he came up to me, and he tried to gank me on a dime bag, you know, not pay me my money. So I took out of my pocket this little lead pipe, and I wrapped it around his goddamn cranium. And then I took my gat out from my pocket, and I shoved it in his mouth, and I pulled the trigger till the gun went click. That's right, because Hanglo is a bad, bad little Muppet. You don't fuck with Hanglo. Word to the mother.
Yeah, now I know that last song was like daddy coming home. And you know you want more, and coming soon you can find it at theflowwhiteshow.com. But for now, feel the flow, exclusively here on today's Boondoggle. Brought to you by today's Boondoggle.
Want a shot?
Come in! Where are you?
That guy can drink the whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
We go drink beer, and he's like, shot in a beer. And his shots are like half glass of, like one of these glasses. Like about right there.
Yeah.
He'll pour on him shot.
Doug, you know beer. What I see on Facebook?
And he drink that shot in a
Don
beer
Gap.
Like we drink beer.
He really? He's still alive?
Order another.
Yeah, he's been sober like 20-some years, 28 years.
Who's that?
And he works for our
in the
team.
Beginning,
a guy named Don Gap, man. This guy was the biggest alcoholic in the unit, man.
Hey, watch
when
how
me and Doug were in there.
Some of us might
like it's a bad.
Put it this way, we go down.
That's a broad statement.
We go down on a weekend down to Little Creek, Virginia, and he come with us, and we had to go through the bilges and pick all the empty beer cans out of the bilges.
There'd be
beer cans floating around in the bilges. And he'd buy the best beer too.
He said they were
red,
filters.
White, and blue.
What was Glenn doing today?
And thank you for listening to another story time from the VFW Hall, brought to you by today's Boondoggle.
Thank you for tuning into this week's edition of today's Boondoggle. Domain Cleveland Entertainment is a veteran-owned and operated entertainment cornucopia of nonsensical shenanigans. You can find interesting interviews, music news, entertainment information, and just about everything else in between. Thank you again for tuning into the show here at Domain Cleveland.